Hey, welcome to Five Live. The episode that you're about to listen to first aired on Instagram Live. It's a little bit different from a regular podcast episode. Have fun listening, but remember, it's a live broadcast, so things can get a little bit crazy. You can find Five Live on Instagram at XOXOFarmGirl, where you can join the conversation live and ask questions. This is the fifth episode in Talk Farm to Me's Five Live series. It's sort of like a magical episode. Five Live, the fifth episode, and it's here on Talk Farm to Me in Season 5. To celebrate, share a little Talk Farm to Me with your friends and take a minute to write a review on Apple Podcasts for me. You can listen to Five Live or to two of the other active series in Seasons 3 and 4. There are so many ways to get to know your farmers. Five Live goes live on Thursdays at noon, so follow along and watch Instagram stories for announcements. You can also watch this and previous episodes on the XOXO Farm Girl IGTV channel. But for now, here it is, the latest Five Live in 3, 2, 1. Hey there, we are live for Five Live here on Instagram Live. Five Live is part of the Talk Farm to Me podcast, and I am your host, Farm Girl. We are going to have a really interesting conversation today with Sam Lustig from Swantonberry Farms out in Santa Cruz, California, in Davenport area. And I am really excited. We've got a lot of questions that have come in. We are going to talk about berries, and we are going to talk about farm labor. This is our fifth in the series for Five Live, and we've talked to some really interesting farmers so far. And we have we've talked with a sheep farmer, and we have talked with a dairy farmer. Actually, I made the cookies that our dairy farmer suggested just this morning, and they are amazing. And we also talked with a pig farmer, and I want to give a shout out to Jessica, who is just outside of Dallas. She's got Cooney Cooney pigs and has really been a victim to the really crazy weather that Texas never sees. Really, really low temperatures. And anyway, she lost a bunch of her piglets, and she's back online now. So if you guys are following her from our previous episode, you should really just, you know, maybe send her a little bit of love. It's rough for farmers who are in the South and Southwest right now. So without much further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Sam, and I'm going to invite him. He is from Swantonberry Farms. You guys can follow him there at Swantonberry Farm. And while I am getting that going, I just want to give you a quick little tutorial here. If you have a question, you can put it in the comments, and you can also put it in that little cute question icon. You probably see a heart on the right-hand side of your screen, and you can send a little to Sam and Swantonberry and to me if you'd like. That would be great. It's so exciting to have all of you here. Well, there he is.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, that is a 10-gallon hat if I've ever seen one.
I got to protect this bald head of mine.
Fantastic. Wow, it looks a lot warmer there. I'm not going to show you out my window because we've got a couple of feet of snow. And
it's nice
something
here.
Else.
There's the ocean.
Well, folks are really excited to be here today, and I'm really excited to have the opportunity to talk with you about the farm and about what's going on there and a little bit of the history of the farm. So let's just jump right in. Give me a little background. You got about 30 seconds to give us the high line on what Swantonberry Farms is.
Just before Sam gets started, I wanted to interject one little detail for you. Sam is actually standing out in the middle of the strawberry fields at the farm, and the farm is near the ocean, and it is also near Highway 1 in California. I mention this to you because you're going to hear some background noise here and there, a little wind, and maybe your car or a truck going by periodically. I just wanted you to know what you're hearing and why. And now, here's Sam.
Yeah, Swantonberry Farm was founded by Jim Cochran in 1983. He's the first strawberry farmer in California to ever be certified organic. On top of that, he's the first organic farmer to ever join a labor union. So we're the first organic farm in the United States to join United Farm Workers or any agricultural labor union for that matter. And the whole thing behind our farm is that you can't have environmental justice without labor justice. One is hollow without the other. So we, in being organic, we treat our food with a state of set of ethical standards. And by being union, we do the same thing with our workers. So they're treated with as much decency as our food is, which goes a really long way.
I'm really excited to get into that, Sam, and you're getting a lot of hearts.
Great.
Which is important. You guys are paying attention out there. Listen closely and let us know what your questions are. Let's talk about what you're growing on your farm.
Yeah, we are known for our strawberries. We grow a variety of strawberries, which you can see are just barely flowering now. I'm out in the field. Just barely flowering now. If it doesn't rain too much more, we should have strawberries in a few weeks. We grow a variety of strawberries you don't actually get to see very often. They're Chandler strawberries.
Tell us.
They don't produce a whole lot like something, seascapes do, but the flavor is unparalleled. And our whole thing is we grow for flavor. We don't grow for what ships best, for what has the longest shelf life, which produces the most. Our whole thing is about growing for flavor. So for us, Chandlers are just supreme. They're, eye-wateringly sweet. We pick them at full ripeness. And when you bite into it, their red juice comes down your face. It's not like strawberries you get in a store where it's white and crispy on the inside. These are red and juicy and velvety all the way through.
Oh my gosh, my mouth is actually watering.
They're the best.
I try to steal myself for the winter and not long for the summer, but now you've spoiled it.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And on top of strawberries, we're doing blackberries. We grow a couple blackberry raspberry hybrids, olala berries and tay berries. Tay berries, another thing you never see because they're just a major pain in the ass to farm, but they taste like roses. They're just remarkable. So they fit so well with we grow for what tastes best.
Wow.
Today's.
I love that you're going through all that trouble for us to have amazing berries. One of the key questions that, that our audience has had is like, why is it so important in particular for berries? Why is it so important that we eat organic berries?
Of course, there's no barrier between you and the toxins, via pesticides that are being sprayed on berries. There's no shell. What you're getting is what you're getting. The pesticides, there's no way a strawberry can protect itself from those toxins. Washing your fruit goes a long way. But quite honestly, if you're really concerned about eating fruit that doesn't have chemicals in it, organic is the way to go for berries. There's really no other way to protect yourself. And quite honestly, for us, fruit just tastes better when it's grown without pesticides. It's a much more difficult thing to do. But in terms of health and flavor, there's no other way to go.
All right. So, those are the top of my list in terms of like not compromising. Like I won't get berries unless they are organic, especially because of what you said. There's really no barrier. And it just feels like the pesticides will permeate the fruit.
They do. And they use really, powerful, powerful pesticides for berries, methyl bromide. Is something that's been used for a very long time, which it's like a level one pesticide. It's really potent stuff. And like you said, there's no barrier like an avocado or an orange that has this hard exterior. There's nothing to protect you from those just seeping right in.
So when the farm started back in 1983, there weren't any organic berry farms out in California. And we all know that's where our berries are coming from.
Absolutely.
How is your farm such a pioneer on such important issues like being organic? I mean, it's real pioneer work.
Yeah. Well, at the time, everyone told Jim, you're out of your mind. It's something that can't be done at a commercial level. Sure, you can grow strawberries without pesticides in your backyard, no problem. But doing it at a commercial level, there's no way. In terms of cost, at the time, you could buy a basket of strawberries for 50 cents or less. And even to today, you can often buy strawberries for $2 a basket, no problem. The cost that goes into extra labor when you're organic The overhead just becomes too high to sort of compete with those prices. So that was a lot of the pushback for Jim, was that it's out of the question. But he, as he is with labor, he just sort of does his own thing and proved in practice that it can be done. You know, there was a time where we were 100% of the certified organic strawberry market in the country. We are
Wow.
now less than, 1%, which is a wonderful thing.
That's
Organ
fantastic. Good
organic
on
has
you.
exploded, exploded.
And just in terms of commercial production, like how many strawberries, like how much are you producing and selling?
Yeah, I mean, for California, we're considered a very small farm. We're just over 100 acres now. We were at just around 200 a few years ago. We've downsized due to drought and things like that, just sort of proper management. So we don't do shipping. For us, strawberries, which is why a lot of people have problems with strawberries in the grocery store, they're picked before they're ripe. A ripe
Oh.
strawberry can't travel from California to New York without rotting. You get only a few days shelf life, that's it. Which is why when you're eating a strawberry from the grocery store, they're often white at the core and crunchy. A ripe strawberry is red and juicy all the way through. So we don't do any shipping. We do farmers markets. We do wholesale locally in the Bay Area. And then we do a ton of sales just through our farm stand. So we've moved much further towards a direct-to-consumer model, because we're lucky enough that we have demand that meets our supply. Quite honestly, demand overpowers the supply, and we often sell out. We're known for doing U-picks. So we have people come, they pick their own strawberries. So we found ways to mitigate having to do wholesale and compromise our price, by doing direct-to-consumer.
Interesting. I'm hearing a lot of that autonomy speak with farmers in every single possible industry. Let me ask
Absolutely.
you this. So I can come there and I can pick my own strawberries. But if I'm not doing that myself, who is doing the work on those beautiful fields that you showed us?
Yep. We at the moment we have 25 full-time employees. It is not seasonal work, which is unheard of in California and unheard of for berry farms. What typically happens is people come for the strawberry harvest. Then they leave, they go do citrus somewhere in the Central Valley, they bounce around. Often they can bounce around the entire country from season to season. For us, it's not seasonal work. These are full-time employees. They get paid hourly, which is also often unheard of. It's usually quota pay for berry farms or large farms, which means that older folks are getting, worked out by the younger people on the farm because they can work a lot faster. So they're full time. We offer affordable housing. So most of our crew lives on site. They pay $60 a month, which is the state required minimum, which for the Bay Area is quite the deal.
Yeah.
And so, part of that, besides being just sort of the right thing to do, is that these guys know these plants. They know these fields. They've been working them intimately, some of them for over 20 years. Some of
Wow.
these guys are making, $25 plus an hour picking strawberries. It's just you don't ever see that. And by being union, they're also getting full health benefits, full dental, vacation, holiday, overtime pay, which is another thing in agriculture, unusual, and very common that you don't get just an 8-hour day on a farm. It doesn't really work like that. There are some days where you have to be in the field a lot longer. And a lot of farms that aren't union don't have to pay overtime. So for us, we're providing all that stuff.
And so, just curious, so where are most of the workers from who work there?
It splits. A lot of folks are from Oaxaca at the moment, originally, but they now
Beautiful
live.
place.
Yeah, gorgeous place. But they live here year round. They've been here for years and years and years. And with immigration being tricky, it's hard. I haven't seen my family in a year with COVID. A lot of
Right.
these people, they haven't seen their children for many more years than that. And not because of COVID, but because of the immigration issue. It's tricky for them to travel back and forth between the border. So they stay here and they work. They pay taxes.
Right.
They do all those things that everyone else does. They are essential workers, whether there's COVID or not. These are people who are providing food for us.
Right.
So it's an interesting dichotomy that with COVID, this term essential workers has really sort of come around, which, for us, it's always essential work. pandemic or not.
It's the right title. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, our food tastes that much better because it's the same people working it. They're treated as professionals. You get a professional product. It's just sort of basic business 101, even if you leave all the human stuff out of it.
Right. So I, you know, pretty interesting, you know, when you're getting on Instagram Live to talk about farm labor, and especially because we are on Instagram here, looking at, you know, very little traffic for, you know, farm labor unions. And, you know, I thought that that was really interesting. I mean, certainly if you want to find stuff about organic farms, you can find it everywhere, but this is not a topic that people are talking about at the, you know, it's not at the tip of everyone's lips. No one's doing reels about it, but I, you know, I wanted to just share these statistics that 80 to 85% of our food is farmed, is produced and harvested by Latino farm workers. And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, especially in a pandemic here, and you don't have the opportunity, if you're not in a labor union, to, you know, have paid time off, if you're not feeling well, and you've got to make money for your family, there is no real, you know, disincentive to come to work. So, you know, for a lot of farms that don't have benefits for their workers, the workers really feel a tremendous amount of pressure to show up for work, even, you know, even if they're, you know, maybe showing symptoms or not feeling well. So this is like super important. And I think, like you said at the outset, for those of you who have just joined, Sam was really underscoring, you value your food and you value being able to go and buy an organic product. So you should also really value the idea that the people who are picking the food and growing the food and making it amazing for us, that they're being, you know, treated as well or better than those berries. So that's, you know, just really important information. Let's talk about this. You, in 1998, Swantonbury Farms joined the United Farm Workers Labor Union. Explain to us, please, like how that works, what it costs, and again, just review what farm workers are getting that they wouldn't if they weren't part of a union.
Absolutely. Traditionally, farm workers seek to collectively bargain and join a union on their own, not with the help of management or ownership. There's usually pushback, which leads to strikes and people losing their jobs. Unions are meant to essentially protect these people from predatory ownership practices. We didn't really have that experience. Jim is the one who brought the idea to his original crew and said, I think this is something you guys should look into. That way it can help you negotiate wages with me. It's a wonderful mechanism for providing healthcare and dental, for overseeing any disputes between workers, sexual harassment claims, all of these things. So it was sort of a thing that was encouraged by Jim and by Swantonbury Farm, and that the crew was eager to do. And it was just like that. Often these things take a very long time. There's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of fear of losing your job. Which is why you see these labor disputes at, you know, places like Driscoll's, they have regularly, and they fail to unionize because they give them some things they've asked for, but not everything, for fear of losing their job. So we're sort of unique in that Jim encouraged the workers to seek out a union, and it's been just a wonderful thing for us and a selling point for us, quite honestly, that we're union, we treat our people with decency. Our customers are loyal to us in a lot of ways because of that. And by being a part of the union, everyone pays a union due out of their paycheck. In return, they've got this mechanism that protects them from, like I said, they help dispute sexual harassment claims, basic disputes between workers, housing issues. I mean, it just ranges tremendously from wages to all kinds of things.
Can you paint me a picture here a little bit about, you know, where you're located and what's around you in terms of other, you know, other farms that are growing similar products? And yeah. What's happening on those farms that's different?
Yep. So we're on the central coast of California. We're the home of berries out here. And what often you see is further inland and a little bit south is these factory farms, such as Driscoll's, that own hundreds of thousands of acres. And they can just ship their fruit everywhere. And they've got a rotating labor force that comes for certain seasons. There's no protections for workers whatsoever. Where we are, just north of Santa Cruz, we're literally right on the coast. I mean, you can see the ocean is right there. A lot of the land is undeveloped, so there aren't a lot of farms right on the coastline here, which is great environmentally. We actually lease the main ranch from the state of California through the California Land Trust. And then we lease another ranch just 8 miles north of us from a family that's owned it for a long time. And there are another handful of small farms around us that, none of which do monocropping. It's all a pretty healthy mixture of berries and produce. And Cal Poly has an agricultural program just behind us on Swanton Road, where they teach students how to do farming, and they do
Very
some
cool.
cattle.
So, what do you think is going on from a staffing perspective on those other farms in the area when they hear that you guys are a part of the United Farm Workers Union?
Yeah, awesome question. For most small farms, when you're buying at the grocery store and you see something that says organic, there's a huge divide where people assume that means the workers must also be treated well on an organic farm. And it couldn't be further from the truth. As much as we don't want pesticides in our food, it's often easier for the farm worker to be able to put on a hazmat suit and go out and spray your food than it is to be on your hands and knees doing weeding every day, because that's what it takes. So
Right, so they're
having.
being exposed then also to the pesticides on a first level basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's much harder on the body to work an organic farm than it is a conventional farm. So when you see organic, it does not mean fair labor. It means your food isn't being sprayed with pesticides, which is wonderful, but it's of no reflection for how the workers are being treated. For us, it's pretty straightforward, and there's not a mechanism that really, unfortunately for consumers, where you're able to see what's being, which farms are treating their workers, paying them well, providing health benefits, basic things like that. There's no real way to tell. A general rule of thumb is that smaller farms are treating their workers better because they can't afford to just lay people off en masse who are asking for higher wages. So a lot of the other small farms in the area, they're not really concerned with being union because they have a smaller workforce, whether they're immigrant labor or not. They're often people who are working year-round, at least for our neighboring farms, who are also small farms. I mean, they're hugely, wildly supportive of what we do, but they use similar practices just without using an official labor union. They're providing much higher wages than someone like Driscoll's.
Sure. So I go into the supermarket, right? And I'm in a hurry and I go look at the strawberries and I'm like, okay, not organic, not organic, not organic, not buying it. I see something that says organic. Is there a movement afoot to label fruits and vegetables that there are fair worker rules in place, whether it's through a union or not?
Yep, there are efforts. Historically, the labor movement has really struggled to market itself, which in this country, especially today with social media, is such a profound thing. The organic movement really figured it out. Everyone's concerned with organic. People want to buy organic, and it's become a very profitable thing to be a certified organic farm.
Right.
The labor movement has never figured it out. They never have. The United Farm Workers is currently working on a label for their food, for United Farm Worker members, but also for other farms that fit a certain criteria. And they're working with someone like Costco to put
Right.
that label on their product. There's a lot of pushback from big business, as there is, of course. There's another, the Agricultural Justice Project, AJP, we work with them too. They're trying to get a label on things and have a set of criteria, just basics that you assume are part of our food, but they're not. Fair wages, health benefits, overtime, sick leave, stuff like that. So yeah, there's no en masse right now, there is no labeling mechanism. Even on our food, like it says United Farm Workers on our box when we bring it to the grocery store, but then when they set the baskets out, it just says organic. It doesn't say United Farm Workers. And our stuff, it costs more money because our overhead's a lot higher. So the real question is, what are you willing to pay for as a consumer? So when you see a price difference between organic strawberries, like if you have two choices and one costs a little more, rest assured that cost is going into labor. And that's often the safer choice if you're concerned about how workers are treated. We pay as a country so much less for our food than other similar nations. Like I said, you can buy strawberries for $2 a basket, which is just, it's not reflective of treating your workers fairly. It's just not. So yeah, there needs to be pushback, more pushback from consumer, more demand. But that also has a lot to do with the labor movement marketing itself and allowing itself to people becoming aware.
Wow.
Yeah, which is
Excellent.
why our, not having a label and being direct to consumer. And I'll show you towards the end, I'll go over to the farm stand. I can show you when you walk in, I mean, it's Cesar Chavez, United Farm Workers. The farm stand is our marketing tool to show you this is who we are, this is how we treat our workers, this is why our stuff may cost a little more, but it tastes better.
Wow. Well, why don't you head over to the farm stand and I
Yeah.
just want to talk to you about that point that you just mentioned. I want to hear what your customers are thinking about it and what kind of feedback you're getting on a, on a face-to-face basis or over Instagram or email or what have you about your practices. Because I also just want to mention as I'm scrolling through these comments here, folks who have visited your farm or who are just joining us here today, lots of really positive feedback, very excited about this. Keep up the great work from the Sunday Junkers here. Lots of there's lots of hands clapping. Somebody had a really some really great jam from you guys. Also some cheesecake. Am I seeing that right?
Oh yeah. So what we do is all of our fruit, and it sort of lends itself to being full-time year-round employment here at the farm. When we're not growing strawberries, we're able to employ everyone still because we have value-added product. We make jam with all of our fruit. We make cheesecake. We make, pies. We're known for all this stuff.
Somebody else said something about cobbler. Is that
Yes. Oh
right?
yeah. Yep. We make a
Oh my
cobbler. I'll
gosh.
be able to show it to you once I get to the farm stand.
Awesome.
Yeah, so by selling all that stuff, by not just being a berry farm, by also having value-added product, it's a model where it can really lend its hand to employing your workers year-round.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I mean, the folks who have been out there, and hey, you guys, thanks for joining. They're really sending you a ton of love. Somebody asked, when is the best time to come to your farm, to either pick strawberries or to
Yeah.
buy strawberries or strawberry-related products?
Yep, traditionally with typical weather, which is sort of unusual thing to come across these days,
Yeah.
we're growing March through October. So if it stays really dry after October, the strawberries will continue to grow. The usual window is March through October. The Chandler variety peaks twice. One of those peaks happens to also coincide with the bushberry season. So you can come to our farm in July. You can buy olallieberries, tayberries, strawberries, blackberries all at once. And we do offer U-picks. We have not been doing them with COVID. It draws thousands and thousands of people to the farm, and it's just not safe for our staff to have that many people here. We've got kids and elderly people, and we've just held off doing it. And we were really scared about what that was going to mean loss-wise in sales, but our sales have been through the roof with COVID. We're so lucky that we have a huge group of people that are just dedicated, loyal customers. They will come support us no matter what.
That's awesome. And again, what is the conversation that you're having with folks about the labor union and all of that?
Yeah, for us, being Central Coast of California, it's a pretty, I hate to admit, but being union tends to be political in this country. So we have people who are generally more liberal, which shouldn't have anything to do with it, but because the discussion sort of all over the place about unions, that's where it's at right now, unfortunately. But people love us for the way we treat our workers. it makes them feel good. And like I said, I like to try to leave the sort of humanity out of it, because on a very basic level, our stuff tastes better. When you treat your workers like professionals, you get a professional product. Right. And people have been coming to us for generations because of that. There's a really, the love for Swantonberry Farm is outrageous. You know, we were in serious threat of the fires that happened here in August.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that. They're glad that you didn't get so much fire damage, but tell me what happened.
We did not. It came really close. There was this outrageous lightning storm that sparked fires all around us. We had some burning at the big ranch that Tim mentioned, it was 8 miles up the road, but we had no structure damage. And it came quite close to the farm stand, but then the wind pushed it away. Let me show you, I'm standing at the farm stand now. Let's see.
All right, let's check it out.
Here's the farm stand.
Cool.
And like I said, we're right on the ocean. So we're located right on Highway 1.
Nice.
And I will say a farm stand is now sort of COVID edition. Traditionally, you can come and hang out. We've got old board games and shoot the moon.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So here's the farm stand.
You're getting a lot of shout outs. I have pies, cheesecake, shortcake, but oh my goodness, the cider.
That's the label that Agricultural Justice Project is working on.
Food Justice Certified, very nice.
And we've just got all this wonderful historical.
So that is incredible.
Chocolate truffles.
The
These are chocolate truffles. We have strawberry, tayberry. It's our jam mixed with heavy whipping cream and chocolate.
I'm having Instagram Live FOMO. I want to come through the screen.
And we grow all this stuff ourselves. So we grow these pumpkins, which pumpkin pie made with real deal sugar pie pumpkins. Wow. Out of this world. You usually get it, you know, it's in a can. Lullaberry cobbler, cheesecake. All these signs are all mixed up. Cheesecake.
I won't tell anyone.
No, don't tell anyone. That's not cheesecake. It's cobbler. Yeah, so this is the farm stand. And people come. Everything in here is self-serve, which is why we have people come and wash their hands before they enter.
Very nice.
Our jams. And on top of that, we use the honor system.
Very nice.
So you make your own change. You pay by yourself. You can see they're making pies back there right now.
And somebody wants to know, when are the tay berries at peak?
June, July is when they're in season. It's a pretty short. Hola, hola, buenos dias.
Hola, ¿cómo están?
That's Mama Laura and Doña Rosa.
Encantada.
And Laura's been working here for 25 years almost.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow, it's really incredible. Everybody who's following here, make sure that you're following Swantonberry Farm on Instagram. And if you'd like to watch the our little chat here in full, you can see it at XOXO Farm Girl on IGTV. It'll also be on my feed. And this will also take place, it'll also appear on Talk Farm to Me, wherever you get your podcast. So if you're driving, just go to season 5, and this is episode 5 in season 5. It has been an absolute thrill, pleasure, and to visit the farm, to meet with you, Sam.
Of course.
You guys are doing incredible pioneering work from, you know, starting organic back in the 1980s, and then, you know, just before the turn of the century, leading with this farm labor movement. I'd like to play a little game, you know, Sam, at the very end.
Yep.
It's kind of my game show, and I know you work hard and you're an integral part of the farm, but when the tough day is done, cookies or cocktails, my friend?
Oh boy.
Come on, tell the truth. And don't make me make any more cookies.
I would say, as a baker, I tend to keep the sweet treats at work, so I'm not much of a cookie guy. I hate to break it to you.
Thank you.
I'm definitely going cocktail.
Thank goodness, because if I have to bake more cookies, and I did actually bake some cookies this morning that I learned from Kyle Clark at Clark Dairy Farms. He was our second episode, and I made those cookies this morning only because they're
Oh,
super good, but I
wonderful.
can't bake anymore. So
No,
help
I
me out
don't.
with a good cocktail.
When I see my family, they want me to bake pies and cheesecake for them, and I'm like, get out of here. No way. It's what I do for work. So in terms of cocktails, you know, where we live in Santa Cruz, there's wonderful wine going on. Huge renaissance of wine in this area. So I tend to be more of a wine guy than I am cocktails. And I'll shout out Beauregard. You guys ought to look them up. They do wonderful stuff. They're in the Santa
Okay.
Cruz Mountains here. But for a cocktail, I get it from my mama. I like a real dry Gibson. Really great potato vodka.
Okay.
Ice cold with a couple pickled onions.
Okay. Guess what we're having Friday night, folks?
That'll knock
So
your socks off.
that's just what I need.
Yeah,
It'll warm
good.
me up. It'll make me feel like I'm out there on the California coast with you
It
guys.
will, it'll warm you up, that's for sure.
All right, everybody. This has been another episode of Five Live. We've been here with Sam Lustig from Swantonberry Farms. Follow him at Swantonberry Farms, and you can find me here at XOXO Farm Girl. You can watch the entire episode, and you can also follow along for other kinds of episodes that are not live on Talk Farm to Me. Thanks,
Thank you
guys,
so
and have a
much.
great day.
Appreciate it. Thank you.